Today we're going to celebrate the ultimate victory that was won for us at Calvary. The cross is not a symbol of defeat, it's a symbol of triumph. Through Christ's sacrifice, we're no longer bound by sin, fear, or condemnation. Today we turn to Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 to 15, for a powerful declaration of this victory. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Let's explore three key truths about walking in the victory of the cross. Victory over sin, victory over fear and condemnation, victory over the enemy. May the Holy Spirit open our hearts as we dive into the Word of God. Victory over sin. Sin separates us from God, but the cross made a way for us to be reconciled with God. Romans chapter 6 verse 6. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. The Greek word for crucified here means to be crucified together with. This means our sinful nature was nailed to the cross with Christ. We no longer have to live under the dominion of sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. The Greek word used here means to agree, confess, or acknowledge. Confession is not just admitting our sin, but aligning our hearts with God's truth. Through confession and repentance, we walk in freedom. Imagine being trapped in a dark prison cell with chains binding your hands. Then Jesus comes, unlocks the door, and breaks the chains. Would you remain inside? No, of course not. The cross has set us free, and we must choose to walk in freedom. Author and pastor John Piper once said, "Sin is what you do when your heart is not satisfied with God." The cross has given us true satisfaction in Christ. John Piper's statement here is a profound reminder of the root of our struggles with sin. Sin is not merely about breaking rules. It's about where we place our ultimate satisfaction. When our hearts are not fully satisfied in God, we seek fulfillment elsewhere. In things, in people, in desires, in anything that can lead us away from God. The Bible makes this truth clear. Psalm 16 verse 11 declares, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." True satisfaction is found in God alone. But when we shift our focus from him, we open the door to temptation. The first sin in the Garden of Eden was not simply eating forbidden fruit. It was the desire for something other than what God had already provided. Adam and Eve doubted that God's way was best, and their hearts longed for more than what he had given. In the same way, when we're not satisfied in God, we chase after empty things that can never fulfill us. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all." When we replace God with lesser things, we find ourselves spiritually thirsty and empty. The key to overcoming sin is not just resisting temptation, but being so satisfied in God that nothing else compares. Jesus said in John chapter 6 verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." When we delight in Christ, the grip of sin loses its power. Friend, where is your satisfaction today? Are you seeking joy and peace in temporary things, or is your heart fully content in Christ? When God is your greatest treasure, sin loses its appeal. Seek him, trust him, and let your heart be satisfied in his perfect love. Victory over fear and condemnation. Many believers still struggle with fear and condemnation, but the cross has silenced every accusation against us. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. In Christ, we're no longer under judgment. We are declared righteous. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Fear is not from God. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness and power. Imagine a courtroom and you stand guilty, but Jesus steps in and takes the punishment for you. The judge slams the gavel down and declares, "You are free." That's what the cross has done for us. Charles Spurgeon said, "When Satan tells me I'm a sinner, he comforts me immensely, since Christ died for sinners." Friend, we do not live in condemnation, we live in Christ's victory. And Spurgeon's words remind us of the profound truth of the gospel. Our sinfulness does not disqualify us from God's grace. Rather, it magnifies the beauty of Christ's sacrifice. When Satan accuses us, seeking to burden us with guilt or shame, we can boldly respond with the assurance that Jesus Christ has already paid the price for our sins. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 declares, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." The enemy may attempt to remind us of our past, but we must remind him of the cross. Our salvation does not rest in our perfection, but in the perfect and finished work of Jesus. Revelation chapter 12 verse 10 calls Satan the accuser of our brothers and sisters, but verse 11 proclaims our victory, "And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony." The blood of Christ silences every accusation. Spurgeon's statement is not just theological, it's practical. When we are tempted to dwell on our failures, we must fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. True victory is found in recognizing that our hope is not in ourselves, but in Christ alone. Let's rejoice in this truth today. Satan's accusations remind us of our need for a Saviour, and praise God we have one in Jesus Christ. Victory over the enemy. The enemy has been defeated, and we have authority in Christ. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. "Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." The Greek word translated here as authority originally means delegated power. Jesus has given us authority. He has delegated power to us so that we can walk in his victory. James chapter 4 verse 7. "So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We must actively resist the enemy through faith, prayer, and obedience. Think of a soldier standing firm in battle. He does not fear the enemy because he knows his side has already won. The cross is our victory. We stand firm in Christ. Our enemy has already been defeated, but he wants to keep us from knowing it. That's a powerful reminder of the truth that we find in Scripture. The devil is a defeated foe. Jesus Christ has secured victory over sin, death, and the powers of darkness through his death and resurrection. Colossians 2:15 reminds us, "In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." Our enemy has been stripped of his power. He only operates through deception. He tries to convince believers that we should be bound by fear or sin or defeat. That's why the Apostle Paul urges us in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11, Put on all of God's armour so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. The enemy cannot undo the victory of Christ, but he can attempt to weaken our faith, distort the truth, or lead us into spiritual complacency. As believers, we must walk in the authority given to us in Jesus Christ. James chapter 4 verse 7 instructs us, "So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." When we stand firm in faith, when we're clothed in the armour of God, the enemy has no choice but to retreat. Let's live in the victory that Christ has already won, refusing to be deceived by the enemy's lies. And let's boldly declare, "But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, today we've learned that the cross gives us victory over sin, the cross removes fear and condemnation, and the cross gives us victory over the enemy. The question is, are you walking in this victory? Are you still struggling with sin when Christ has already set you free? Are you living in fear of condemnation when Christ has already declared you righteous? Are you standing firm against the enemy, or are you letting him deceive you? Perhaps you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. Today is the day. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Come to Jesus today. Surrender your fears, your sins and your struggles. The victory of the cross is yours. Will you walk in it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us a way of salvation, that through the life, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when we trust in him, when we come to him in faith, when we repent and turn to him as Saviour and Lord, that we are assured of a place in heaven. Thank you that we are already victorious because of what Christ has done. Thank you that we can live in the victory that he has already purchased on our behalf. And thank you that you are with us day by day to strengthen us, to lead us, to guide us. I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And I pray, dear Father, that you would help us to truly live in the victory that Christ has provided us with. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to love you more. And help us to recognize that the victory is already ours in Christ, and that Satan is a defeated foe. Lead us in your ways, Lord. Guide us, bless us, and protect us, I pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.